Oh, thank you very much. I was thinking about that. Good morning. What a good day. We're here. That's a good day. Let's pray for Pastor Jim. He's not. Poor guy. Being ill is never fun. We're going to talk about Palm Sunday, of course, is today, the beginning of Holy Week. So this morning, I woke up about 4. 1 minute later, my phone buzzed. I had gotten a text. It was Jim and Sherry saying that Jim was ill, and could I do this? And I said, absolutely, no problem. I was already awake. That was amazing. So I had a couple hours to work on this. So if it's sketchy or a little funny, give me some grace here, but I think it'll be okay. It was interesting getting up and thinking about Holy Week and looking up some things that I couldn't remember or I wasn't quite sure about, so I learned some things this morning. But I want to start with Matthew 21, 1 through 11, the triumphal entry. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, I don't know how to pronounce that, I just made that part up, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent 2 disciples saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put them on their colt, cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of them spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds went before him and were following him, shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. As you all know, Palm Sunday comes a week before Easter. And we commemorate this as Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is the beginning of what's called Holy Week. Interesting, the people that were worshiping Jesus, paying homage to him, are the same ones who in a few more days would call for his death. But that day, it was a celebration. I think of how grand it must have been for people worshiping him, putting their clothes out, putting the palms out. It was a great day of celebration. Only Jesus knew what awaited him later in the week. The other people, well, they were celebrating. This is the first time, and I may be wrong here, but this is the first time Jesus allowed the people to praise him publicly. Each time previously, he had forbidden them to do so. He said it wasn't his time, but this was his time. This is what he had come for. This was his day. By allowing the people to praise him vocally in public, he was bringing the wrath of the government, the Roman government and the Jewish government, down upon himself. Again, he was fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. Rejoice, O greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt. Even in this triumphal time, in this exciting time, Jesus knew he was the Passover lamb. He was in Jerusalem for the Passover. And one of the things I learned this morning, Passover was the 14th day of the month. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, or Palm Sunday, was the 10th day of the month. In Exodus 12, verses 3, 5, and 6, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th month, this very man shall take a lamb according to their family's houses, a lamb for their household. Your lamb will be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. and you shall keep it until the 14th day. Until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Jesus knew that was what he was coming into. Furthering, he said, then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts, on the lintel of the houses in which they ate it. And as we know from Exodus, Passover is celebrated by the Jews as the day the angel of death passed over their homes, but killed the firstborn of those without the blood on the doorpost. Again, Jesus was that lamb, the Passover lamb. Thinking about this morning, I was just amazed at his entry, his allowing people to do this, knowing what it meant, what was before him. And it completely, I don't say completely, it overwhelmed me. I can't even imagine how one would do that, how one could ride in here, how one could be ready for your own death, such a violent death. What an amazing thing he did for us. Let me find my place again. Okay, here we are. Traditionally, entering into a city on a donkey symbolizes coming in peace. Another thing I didn't know before this morning. Rather than a violent gesture, a warfaring king would be arriving on a horse. In biblical times, it was common for kings or important people to arrive in a procession riding on a donkey, the donkey symbolizing peace, so those who chose to ride them showed they came with peaceful intentions. Jesus here reminds us that he is the Prince of Peace. Again in Zechariah, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey. When the people were shouting Hosanna, another thing I learned this morning, they were hailing Christ as king, but the meaning of the word is actually save now. The people were hoping for a king, a radical king, to save them from the Romans. But what they got was very different. God's plan, his plan was to send his son to save humanity from the grip of sin, not just the Jews from the grip of the Romans. God's plan was so much bigger, and Jesus knew it. On the way into town, the Bible says that Jesus wept for Jerusalem. In the midst of the praise and of the moment, he knew in his heart that it wouldn't be long that these same people would turn their backs on him, betray him, crucify him. It broke his heart knowing they needed a real Savior and what he had to do to be that Savior. Luke 19:41-42 says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known this day, what would bring you peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. Interesting things I learned about the palm branches this morning. In ancient Egypt, the palm was used in a funeral procession and it represented eternal life. Later, the palm branch came to represent a symbol of Christian martyrdom and their spiritual triumph over death. In biblical times, palm branches were thrown before the feet of the conquering hero. Jesus was all three. He represented eternal life, he was a Christian martyr, and he was a conquering hero. The word tells us that the people cut the branches and waved them in the air, laid them out on the ground before Jesus as he rode into the city. That branch represented goodness and victory. The symbolic final victory would soon be Jesus, his victory over death. Palm Sunday reminds us that the reign of Christ is far greater than any mind of man could ever conceive or plan. Men look for someone to fight their battles in the present day world, yet God had the ultimate plan of sending his son to fight the final battle over death. This is the greatness of what we celebrate this week, Christ's ultimate sacrifice so we can be set free from death. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And we can say, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, 2 Corinthians 9:15. So a little tiny view of Palm Sunday. But I decided to go a little further because I didn't know what Maundy Thursday meant, so I looked it up. Maundy Thursday, Maundy is a shortened term of the Latin word mandatum, which means command. It was on Maundy Thursday, Christ's final time with his, before being crucified, the final time with his disciples, he gave a new commandment. John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that the old one, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So Maundy Thursday, the new command. He gave a commandment of love, and that was his, just as he was entering in to that cycle of being taken before the Sanhedrin and Herod. And he says, as I have loved you, love one another. So when we think about Maundy Thursday, we think about the upper room, Jesus' last time with his disciples before crucifixion, the Last Supper, and the celebration of Holy Communion. John 13:12. When he had washed their feet, he put on his outer garments and resumed his place and said to them, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. You are right, for so I am. But if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. That if is pretty important, if you do them. Also on Maundy Thursday, the institution of the Lord's Supper. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he gave them thanks, he broke it and gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured for you. It is a new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me at this table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. They began to question one another, which of them it could be to do this. What a harsh, harsh choice Judas made. Terrible. But if he hadn't made it, I've always wondered what would have happened. I don't know. I don't have an answer. Obviously, Christ still would have died. There would have been something. But that's always been a little point that puzzles me. Well, following Maundy Thursday is Good Friday. And I was looking up some things about Good Friday, and I found, honestly, a secular publication that tried to explain Good Friday. And it was so good, I copied it. So I'm going to read it to you. This is what you get. It's so curious to me because this is a secular person looking at the Bible and trying to figure out what this is all about. So I just found it really interesting. Good Friday. The celebration of Good Friday is ancient, dating at least to the 4th century, but why is it called a good day? Okay. Either very late on Maundy Thursday or in the early hours of Friday, after the Last Supper, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. When he was there, one of his disciples, Judas, betrayed him by leading a soldier to him, portraying him as a threat to both the Jewish and Roman authorities. He was arrested and immediately taken before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court, where he was found guilty. From there, he was taken to stand before Pilate, the Roman manager of Judea, southern division of Palestine. and thereafter taken to Herod, the Roman king of Judea, and then back to Pilate again. He was condemned to death. He was stripped of all human dignity, scourged, crowned with thorns, spat upon, made to carry a cross through the streets, actually nailed to the cross, and finally having to suffer the slow, painful death of crucifixion from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. After he was died, he was taken from the cross and buried in a tomb. And this is still part of the publication. How is it possible to characterize these heroic events as good? How is it that the cross of that Friday became the universal symbol of Christendom? This would have gone down in history as just another death of a renegade who tried to overthrow the Jewish and Roman officials had it not been for what followed. The third day later, it was discovered Jesus was no longer in the tomb. First, it was thought his body had been stolen, but the guards had placed at the entrance of the tomb to keep that from happening. Then Jesus appeared to the disciples. It was clear he had overcome death. I find that so interesting. A non-Christian going through the scriptures could come with that fabulous understanding. This terrible Friday has been called Good Friday because it led to the resurrection of Jesus, his victory over death and sin, and the celebration of Easter, the very pinnacle of Christian celebrations. The death of Jesus on the cross frees man from his sin and gives him everlasting life. It took the death and burial of Jesus on that Friday to make victory over resurrection possible, to make the victory of the resurrection possible. John simply says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16. So, these are the things I found. These are the things I've read. I hope that they have been a blessing to you. I do believe, Jess, that there is another song, she said. And I'll finish with the prayer after that song. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Don't forget that we have the beginning of next service. We have a children's play, and then we will have a healing prayer service. So I encourage anyone who's interested to please stay. I pray this week, Father, will be a week blessed for all of us as we pay attention to what you went through, what you did for us. Lord, let this week be a blessed week. Let us honor you in all that we do this last week of the Lenten season. God, I pray for your perfect will to be done in the lives of my brothers and sisters, that you would heal them, you would protect them, and that your peace would flow over them. And I pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.